and welcome to another episode of Swans Cast. Another round for the Swans, another terrific win over the Cats out at ANZ Stadium. We'll get to all that later. Liam Flanagan here, and as always, joined by Luke McManus. Luke, how are you, bud?
Morning, Flanners. How are you?
Oh, mate, pretty good. Pretty good. Ticking along. It was an exciting week of football all around in the AFL, but particularly a terrific weekend of footy out at ANZ Stadium for the Sydney Swans. It was a solid win over the Cats.
Yeah, I'd much rather back-to-back wins than back-to-back losses. It just makes working here and the week after just a little bit more pleasant.
And it lifts the podcast.
It does. And so we might get some listeners this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really enjoyed it. Good to see Buddy get amongst the goals, although he was a bit wayward early, but I mean, we'll touch on it later.
He was up and about.
And good to see that midfield group leading from the front. One man in particular, which we'll touch on in a moment.
Absolutely, you're right. We will get into the game in a bit more depth shortly. But it's time for our player chat. Last week, Reece Shaw had what can probably be described as one of less strong attempts at who am I. Really, really struggled.
And he was really flat about it too. It took him five or six questions. I think pretty much he just ended up giving up in the end.
Well, he resorted to cheating at one point.
He did. He whipped out his phone and attempted to hit up Google.
He jumped on Google, but he got there in the end. That's what matters. And he has nominated Zach Jones for this week, brother of Melbourne captains Nathan. I'm looking forward to the chat with Zach because he hasn't featured in the seniors this side. It's only his second year at the footy club. So I'm looking forward to getting an insight from a younger player at the footy club, a guy who obviously plenty of potential, the number one pick for the Swans in that round and 2013 draft, and obviously a kid trying to break into the senior side and adjusting to life in Sydney.
So we're up on, what is this, level four, level three of the SCG, overseeing a few of the blokes are still out in the track, honing their skills ahead of this weekend's games. I'm sitting here with Zach Jones, the recently re-signed Zach Jones. How are you today, mate?
Yeah, I'm real well, mate. Real well.
You've recommitted. First question off the bat, we'll get this over and done with. Recommitted with the club to the end of 2017. How difficult was that decision?
Yeah, I guess I'm happy that I've stayed here. I'm real happy that I stayed here. They've showed loyalty to pick me at their first round draft pick, and I want to show loyalty to the club, and they've treated me well since I've come here, so it's good.
Was it a long process?
No, actually it was pretty quick. It was over a few weeks, and yeah, it was pretty quick.
Is that, how does it, you know, you always hear about how footballers, they just want to kind of get that process over and done with, and so I'm interested to hear, obviously yourself being a young footballer, and I can't imagine you being, how many contracts have you signed recently? So it's obviously a new process to you.
Yeah.
So how did you find the whole thing?
Yeah, I just thought the club was real good, and my manager was like unreal. He just helped me out and guided me in the right ways, and kind of I bounced some things off him, and he just kind of bounced a few things back and came to the decision. It's good.
Yeah. Now you played four games last year. Your first, obviously, in the AFL. What did a taste of AFL teach you?
Yeah, I guess it's a lot quicker. You got to be on. You got to be focused. You can't have lapses or any time to kind of recover or anything like that. You just got to be ready 24/7, really. So I guess that's what it taught me mainly.
So obviously you played majority in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And then you suffered a bit of an injury setback.
Yeah, I had an Achilles injury after I got knocked out. I don't know how that occurs, but somehow that happened.
How frustrating was that? In particular because, especially because the Swans were heading towards a final series?
Yeah, it was real frustrating for me. I finally cracked in the team. I felt comfortable. I was in the right headspace and ready to go, and feeling like you can play, but then physically not being able to is real frustrating, and always wanting to be out there, I guess, is a hard thing for me to do. So,
This year, what was the focus over the pre-season? And obviously we're 7 rounds into the AFL season now. Where are you at? How are you tracking? And where's your head at?
Yeah, I think I'm in the right mindset. It's just a hard team to crack into. You look at the boys and they're playing unreal and they're knocking off teams and playing consistent each week, and that's all I'm trying to do. So hopefully I can crack into that team eventually.
Now, you have a well-known brother, captain of the Melbourne Footy Club, Nathan Jones. How often are you in contact with him? I noticed in the opening round, obviously the Neefle side travelled to Canberra, where Melbourne was playing that same weekend, and we ended up bunking in at the same motel as Melbourne. Yeah. So I saw you having a nice little catch-up with your brother.
Yeah,
how often are you in contact with him?
I'll talk to him probably 3 times a week, maybe 4. Depends what mood he's probably in or mood I'm in. So, yeah, it's good to have him too to bounce feedback off and kind of keep me in a level-headed space.
Yeah. How does he try and give you advice on how to, I suppose, approach things in your football?
Yeah, I guess he tries telling me that there's preparation that I need to do, and as long as I prepare the right way, then I'll play consistent each week. And yeah, he's always good to have that person outside of the club to bounce feedback off. But yeah, the club's unreal at that. So
now you're a young lad from the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah.
How have you adjusted to life in Sydney?
It's pretty similar. The only thing is, we've got surf up here, so I get out of the waves a fair bit with Parksy and a few of the boys, Isaac Haney. Nah, it's pretty easy for me, really.
Obviously, having a little taste for it, where do you see yourself, I suppose, fitting into that senior side and playing your best football?
Yeah, I reckon we'll probably take Shorey's spot when he's at the end, but I'm hoping I can crack in a little bit earlier, and I really want to combine with the whole defence at the moment. Like, they're unreal, but I'd love to just be in there and be playing alongside all of them.
And what's life outside of football like for Zach? You mentioned you're surfing.
Yeah.
What else do you find yourself doing away from the football club?
It's probably mainly surfing. I surf as much as I can. Surf as much as I can, and that's about it, really.
Yeah. getting a bit of stick from the boys out in the oval,
So mainly just surfing.
Yeah, mainly just surfing.
What do you do? What about the winter months? The ocean would get a bit cold.
Nah, it's still warm up here. It's pretty warm up here actually, but nah, it's not that bad. I'll surf 2 hours, I'll be right.
Yep. Now, it's fairly common, obviously, especially in Sydney, for senior players, AFL clubs, to get, to take on a mentor role with junior players. Whose wing have you found yourself under?
So many of them, like Macca, Shorey, Kizza. Those three are probably my main ones that I try and bounce a lot of things off. Macca plays a similar role. Shorey plays a similar role to me, but Kizza's there to just bounce things off and see where I'm at. Yeah, those three are my main ones. They're real good on giving me feedback and direct feedback. They don't beat around the bush with it, so it's real good.
Yeah. And when you were obviously a junior player coming up through the ranks, has anyone influenced you in particular?
It's probably my family that have been the most for me. They're always there to support me, and when I have a bad game, I guess I'm used to that direct feedback from having 2 brothers and my dad. They were pretty direct with me down the line and said it was a shit game or it wasn't good enough and you can run harder, or I guess they believed in me a lot more than maybe I believed in myself. But yeah,
alright, thanks mate, appreciate the chat. Now at the end of every chat we have a bit of a who am I, just to test your knowledge on a particular teammate. Now, first question, we usually start off with a birthday. So I don't know how
I'm gonna struggle here.
Good you are with a birthday. Reece Shaw, we did last week, and he was terrible at it. Absolutely terrible at it. He took about 5 or 6 questions to do, and he was real flat too. Born 20th of September 1993.
Nah.
Every clock in my childhood home is set forward half an hour to ensure I and my brothers were always on time.
Nothing.
I played my junior football for Horsham Football Club.
Jakey
Loy, there we go. 3 questions. Got it. Beautiful. Well done, Zach. Yeah, you can now you go to reshore and give him stick about that. Now, mate, as reshore nominated yourself, it's your turn to now nominate a mate. Who will it be?
I'll nominate Macca.
Macca?
Yeah.
Benny McGlynn or Jared McVeigh?
Jared McVeigh
is gone. Now, we were wondering when the time would come for a player to nominate some of the big dogs around Sydney Football Club, and now you've just thrown out the big one, Jared McVeigh. So look forward to hitting Jared McVeigh up in the corridor to come have a chat on Swans Castle. Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate your time, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me, mate. Cheers.
All right, Luke, time to take a look at the weekend's game. Round 7, it was the Sydney Swans 18-12, 120 defeating Geelong Cats 11-11-77 by 43 points. And above all else, it was a fantastic way to celebrate Jared McVeigh's 250th game in the AFL.
The boys, yeah, a few of the boys put out tweets and Instagram posts saying how much they loved running out with McVeigh every week and what an honour it was to play in his 250th game. So that was a really great touch from a few of the boys.
Absolutely.
And you can just tell after the game, they got around him and he's such a humble bloke in the rooms. He didn't talk it up too much during the week, and even after the game, he was trying to keep a lid on it because I can imagine his approach is all about the team and all about... Yeah, I suppose willing that team right through to the end of September, hopefully.
Absolutely. I'm sure he would give up all the personal milestones for another crack at a flag, but that's a long way off. But no, it was terrific to see the boys get around Jared, both on the field and on social media, as you mentioned. Let's look at some of the performances. Well, the game more broadly, it was a pretty tight game. In the end, 43 points, probably flattering to the Swans. It was a really tight tussle, especially in that first half. The Cats came to play, but... that second half of the Swans, it was almost like they were this big moving truck that was slowly shifting through the gears, and after halftime, they really started to put the foot down.
Yeah, it was goal for goal there for a while there. Shannon Motlop was lively for them. Yeah, it was a great battle in the ruck division, obviously.
Reece Stanley and Mark Blitzarves.
Yep. Up against Pikey and obviously Tippo.
It was a great battle. It was an entertaining one.
But I think it came down to the midfield of both teams.
Now, do we know what Joel Selwood said to Buddy Franklin?
No.
He must have said something because he's rubbed Buddy the wrong way. Buddy was chasing, hunting him all day.
Yeah, not quite sure about that one. But yeah, I mean, Selwood, he gets under the skin of a lot of teams. So yeah, there's no surprise. Our midfield group performed so well. Mm. I mean, one man in particular, Luke Parker.
Let's talk about it.
31 disposals, 5 goals.
He was tremendous.
He was tremendous. Led from the front. It was one of the most amazing individual performances that you'll ever see.
Well, certainly had plenty of plaudits from around the AFL community. Everyone talking about how he is well and truly an elite midfielder in the competition now. And as you mentioned, 5 goals as an on-ball. Anytime you kick 5 goals as a midfielder is a big day out. And the reigning best and fairest winner for the Sydney Swans is sort of, I think, you know, Dan Hannabry's had most of the attention in the early rounds, but Luke is certainly starting to put his presence felt in the games as well. So, terrific effort by him. But I wanted to talk about the effort of Ben McGlynn. I thought young Ben, 10 tackles he had across the game. He got the job on Joel Selwood, which we mentioned before, Joel has the ability to get under skins. He is the most influential player at the Cats. And the stopping job that Ben did on him, keeping him to 19 disposals, that was a terrific effort.
Yeah, it was. And he does it week in, week out. That's what he's in there for, his defensive pressure and his hardness at the footy and his pace. He's got some really good pace on him for one of the older guys, I suppose. And
Yeah, I mean, he just tries his heart out.
Well, we know Nick's... No, who disclosed the fact that Jeremy Laidler told us that Ben McGlynn, he's the nerd down the front of the class. He's the one studying down the front of the class. So it's no surprise that if he was given this job by the coaching staff during the week, he was going to imply himself. So it's great to see by Ben. All in all, a terrific win, a 43-point win by the Sydney Swans. Let's get to Horses Heroes. Now, mate, we've talked about it. We've talked about checking the leaderboard, seeing where we're at round seven. And I've gone back through the records and had a listen. I can take you through the leaderboard prior to this round. Dan Hanbury and Josh Kennedy sit equal atop the leaderboard with 5 votes each. Not much of a surprise there. Sam Reed, Jake Lloyd sitting in equal second on 3 votes. Buddy, Kurt Tippett and Tom Mitchell all have 2 votes. And Isaac Heaney, Gary Rowan, and Mike Pike all sit on 1 boat. So a pretty crowded leaderboard at the moment, and not much between the top and the bottom, but I think we might be adding a new name into the mix today. Where did you see the votes going this weekend, mate?
You can't go past Luke Parker.
No, you can't.
I want to give him 3 votes because it was it was an all-round performance. He impacted the scoreboard.
Well, I want to give him 4.
You want to give him 4?
I think as a midfielder racking up 31 touches, so that means you're only, goals, I've only got
one to play with, and there are plenty of other performances where you could have awarded votes.
Well, look, I've interrupted you.
This is not like a throwback to your all in five votes to Kurt Tippett.
The round 2 incident with Kurt Tippett and me wanting to give him 5, I'll admit I put my hand up for that before. Where else did you see some votes going?
I saw some votes going to Tommy Mitchell.
Okay.
33 possessions, 3 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So impacting the scoreboard as well.
Mm-hmm.
1-2 Buddy for mm-hmm. his 4 goals, 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was wayward, but
sure.
You know, he still kicked 4 goals plus that absolutely pirouette goal.
The goal
in
the
last
year
quarter.
Nomination.
Buddy goes back. He says, "Come on, give it in long, give it in long." Reed goes there now. Buddy backing up. Now he can come at the footy. Off hands, Franklin. Snapper! He's a star!
We did have about 4 or 5 nominations.
We've got 3 at the moment. Jetta, Parker and Buddy. So we're a chance to win it this year.
Along.
And 1 vote to Ben McGlynn for his 10 tackles.
Well,
I will take into account
what
we're all about here at the Horses Heroes and the Swans cast is that we look at the smaller things.
The efforts.
The finer details. The efforts.
The big numbers and,
so I will take off a vote. Buddy's vote.
Okay.
Don't tell him.
All right.
So that opens up another vote, which I wanted to give to Ben.
I think Ben McGlynn has to get a vote. Craig Bird is generally the number one stopper for the Sydney Swans, and he was out over the weekend. So Ben McGlynn stepped into an unfamiliar role and just performed, ticked every box along the way. He kept, as I said, kept Joel Selwood, one of the premier midfielders in the competition, to 19 disposals. So Ben McGlynn has to get a vote for mine. And I've got to be honest, I saw the other 4 votes going to Luke Parker. I just thought that performance of his was the most dominant midfield performance, not across the weekend, but probably one of the most dominant midfield performances of the season. So, look, I'm happy to be swayed if you think a vote needs to go elsewhere, but I saw it as 4 to Parker
you've
and 1
convinced
to Ben McGlynn.
Me. You've convinced me. You've put up a good argument. I'll concede, and so 4 votes to Luke Parker.
4 votes to Luke Parker.
1 vote to McGlynn.
1 to Ben McGlynn, which, if we go back and check the leaderboard, it moves Luke Parker straight into outright second position, sitting behind Dan Hanbury and Josh Kennedy, and Ben McGlynn jumps into equal whatever position it is with Isaac Heaney, Gary Rowan, and Mike Pike. So we've got the Horses Heroes leaderboard up and about. We might even try and find a way to update that each week when we put it up on the Swans website. SydneySwans.com.au. Luke, what happened in the Kneeful, mate? What happened in the Twos over the weekend?
Well, fun is, yes, we travelled out to Blacktown, and what a great venue that is. Mm. Blacktown International Sports Park. Yeah, there's all sorts out there. There's baseball fields, softball fields, cricket, there's everything. So yeah, I set up in the bleachers, then took the camera around and took a few snaps. So that was an enjoyable day.
The boys took on the Sharks.
The boys took on the Sharks, the Southport Sharks. Sydney 14-13-97 defeating Southport 6-9-45. So, yeah, our young troop got the job done and quite comprehensively. After half time, they really put the foot down. I think kicking eight goals to three. Sammy Naismith and Toby Nankervis kicked three each. They're mere mountains out there. They took a lot of grabs. I think 15 grabs between them. Add Tommy Derricks
who's
in there.
Who's winning the beard contest between those three boys?
Tommy Derricks.
Tommy Derricks is leading the
Yeah, he's got a really nice full growth.
Great.
Between them, I think they had 20 possessions and really dominated. But as the seniors, the midfield really won it for us. Craig Burr, 32 possessions, really fighting for a spot back in it, really fighting for a senior recall.
Yep.
Georgie Hewitt, 30 possessions, and a couple of goals too. Dan Robinson, 25 possessions, and Cunningham. Harry Cunningham, obviously, 23 possessions. And a jumper rip too. Yeah, he was busting out of his jumper.
It's a great sign. It really illustrates the depth at the footy club at the moment when you see names like Cunningham, Bird, Hewitt, these sort of guys running around in the twos and still performing, as you mentioned. So, good win.
I asked the value of having Craig Bird and Harry Cunningham coming back to the side to coach Marty Matner.
Mm-hmm.
Actually caught up with him on Saturday night in the ANZ rooms after a big day out at Blacktown.
Joined by Marty Matner, coach of the Swans Neefl side. Now, Marty, we're in the Swans change rooms at ANZ Stadium after a good win tonight. But there was a game earlier today and we're on the end of a 52-point win against Southport. So the boys did well.
Yeah, it was a good game. Probably didn't play very well in the first half, but I think the boys came out at half-time and kicked a few goals, started dominating the game a bit more, controlling the game, and the boys ended up with a good win.
How handy was it to have one Craig Bird back in the side?
Birdie was really good. His stuff around the clearances was really good. I think he had about 12 or 13 clearances. Sort of freed up a few other guys to sort of play a different role. And Daniel Robinson really enjoyed it. I think he ended up with about 12 clearances as well. So between them two, I think they really dominated. I think clearances, Birdie got, had guys coming to him, which sort of freed Robbo to get some more ball. And the midfield were really good. Our rucks were really good. And Toby and Kervis kicked three as well. So it was some good roles and some guys played really good footy. And like I said, the second half was really good.
Obviously, along with Bird, Harry Cunningham is another one who's really pushing to get back into that senior side. How did you see his game today?
Yeah, Harry played really well. First half was more midfield and second half more forward. But, it does his job, plays his role, does all the things we ask him. And, he's good around the stoppages and pretty versatile. Like I said, play forward, play wing, even half back and in the midfield. So in terms of that, played his role all day really well and I'm really pleased with his game.
It was a physical game there, obviously a few jumper rips and here, there and everywhere. Obviously, how important were those guys, those senior guys, to have in there, to stand up for the younger guys?
Yeah, I was thinking that's probably something we've been lacking a bit, is those senior guys, which is always good to get back a bit of experience. The younger guys are getting more experience, like Zach Jones and Sam Naismith and Toby Nankervis and Tommy Derricks has been really good for us as well, a bit older as well. But those younger guys, they sort of need to learn that, that they are the experienced ones now. We've got a lot of first and second year players. So, Zach Jones and these guys are third year players, so they are the experienced ones in the team. And it's good having Harry and Birdie come back to help out as well, but it's also these guys understanding their role as well.
Mm-hmm. And, as you said, you touched on the bigger guys, Sammy Naismith and Toby Nankervis combining for six goals, so three goals apiece. I think they had combined for 15 marks as well, so that was a colossal effort from those guys.
Yeah, that was probably the big thing with them the last few weeks, is starting to take some marks, and saw the results today. And like you said, three goals each. I think Toby took about 10 marks as well, and Sammy clumped a few down forward as well, but Tommy Derricks, I think, took about five or six as well. So really pleasing for our big guys working together, getting the marks, and sort of resulted in them kicking three goals each.
Looking ahead, what's the focus this week?
The boys have got the bye next weekend, so it's probably, hopefully, a few guys, it's good probably to have a little break. The guys have played six or seven games now in a row, so young guys, it's a good experience. We can start actually working on some game plan stuff as well with the kids as well, the guys. It's a good opportunity for our guys to have a little break, probably, get away from the footy as well. Hopefully on the weekend they'll watch the game, but mentally get away from it, I guess. We'll have a hit out sometime on Friday or Saturday, so make that like a game. But Yeah, like I said, we can do a bit more game plan and actually work with just the NEAFL team, which would be a good experience for those guys as well.
No rest for the wicked, Marty. Well, well done on today, and yeah, good luck for 2 weeks' time.
No, thanks for that.
All right, Luke, you have to you got to dash off to Coogee this morning, mate, because you got to go and get involved in some recovery sessions, do a bit of filming of the gents. What are they doing down there?
A bit of a light touch session, a bit of a recovery, yeah, right. Just to break things up a bit, because as you can imagine, an AFL player, refresh the mind and the body. I think
absolutely. If you
take the training sessions offside, I think it's a yeah. I think it's a great.
I'd love it if my bosses at Triple M decided to take us offside for a day. That'd be great.
Take the microphones out it's, down to Bondi or down to Coogee. That'd be Bondi. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, let's turn our attention to round 8. It is the grand final rematch. It is the Hawks taking on the Swans at the MCG, 7:20 Saturday night. It's a big game. It's a very, very big game, and I think you wonder whether both coaches might have seen, once the fixtures came out at the beginning of the year, might have looked to this fixture in round 8 and potentially highlighted it. It is the grand final rematch.
Absolutely, yeah. No, after the events of September, which we won't go into, I think to win or to beat Hawthorn is just another step in, I suppose, the path back.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, a lot of these players would use it as motivation. You know, it's been talked about. It's been, you know, they've moved on from it, no doubt. But up against the old foe, I think it's important to take it to the Hawks, especially at the MCG.
Yeah, and there's always a bit of feeling in it, particularly it's at the G, but there's also, you know, there's a couple of ex-Hawks running around in Swans colours. I think they look better in Swans colours, you know, in Buddy Franklin, Josh Kennedy, Ben McGlynn. So there's always that little bit of friendly rivalry. Who will forget the kiss that Luke Hodge planted on Buddy's cheek during the grand final? Unfortunately, Hodgie won't be there, so Hawks a little bit susceptible at the moment.
They do welcome back Jordan Lewis, though, who's an important
very
player.
Important player.
John Longmire touched on that in his Monday press conference. Mm.
No, it's definitely the match of this weekend. Swans are often one of the big fixtures every weekend, but coming up against the Hawks, grand final replay, it is the biggest match in the AFL this weekend, and I think it's a great opportunity for the Swans. And they love playing on the MCG. They perform well there. Buddy loves the big open spaces and loves a good fist pump. I can see a couple of those coming out this weekend.
Absolutely, and I'm really looking forward to watching it. Just for the pure fact that two premier teams in the competition are going at it, and it's an important time of year because with, you know, clubs getting off to great starts and, you know, it's important to get to win each game and to get that, I suppose, edge over the clubs around you.
Yeah, well, it's getting to the point in the season now where the stronger clubs have had to play all the other stronger clubs as a result of where they finish, and vice versa with the weaker teams who finish down the bottom end of the table. So now it's kind of, there's been that feeling out process between the teams they finished around last year, and now you start to come up against the other teams. So it is an important, as you mentioned, a very important time in the season, and as teams try and solidify their places in the top 8, both these teams will be looking to do it. But very exciting weekend for this one. It's a very exciting weekend for footy, Luke. And mate, we better let you go. You got to get down to Coogee and do some filming.
Oh, thank you very much, mate.
Are you taking the budgie smugglers?
No, I'll leave them here.
Is that part of the filming process, mate?
No, I'll leave them here. I haven't broken those out yet. I'll just wait until the warmer weather.
It's the beautiful Sydney weather. Why? There's no reason not to break out the budgie smugglers.
Mate, there'll be enough budgie smugglers down there within the playing group, you know.
Swans Cast listeners, if anybody out there is down in Coogee today and they catch a glimpse of a man wearing a pair of budgie smugglers and holding a camera or a microphone, please take a photo and send it to us on Twitter, hashtag Swans Cast, because we need to get some dirt on this, Luke. He's a bit clean cut for me. I'm sure there's got to be some dirt in the background. So if you could help us out, that'd be great. Anyway, Luke, we've gone on far too long today, mate. I'll catch you next weekend, hopefully celebrating another Swannies win.
Thanks, Flanners. I'll see you next week.